As we prepare to read the first scripture, I'm glad that Tina shared with you Matthew 5:3. It is the theme of this year's Women's Gift of Women's Sunday, which is honoring women's spirituality, struggle, and survival. This is International Women's Day. But it's not one of the two scriptures that were offered that I chose. The first scripture is going to be also from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 20. He said to them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. Congregation, that as this is Gifts of Women Sunday, our choir this morning is all women, and it was absolutely wonderful. Thank you. Before I read our second scripture, I got a message from Andy that reminding me of something that I had meant to announce that I forgot. On Friday evening, Carol Lambden died. The family's going to be meeting with the funeral home tomorrow to set up services, so we will get the word out to you as soon as we know. If you'd like to call the church during the week to find out, please do that. We'll get the word out as soon as we know when her services are. Our second scripture lesson today is from Paul's letter to Timothy, the second letter, chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. Listen now to these words and let them fill your heart. "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God." I thought it was kind of interesting that on this Gifts of Women Sunday, none of the scriptures they suggested to us really talked about women. But in some ways, that's kind of indicative of what scripture is like. There's not a lot in the Bible about women. They're usually on a very peripheral scale. And this scripture today is much like that. These scriptures are all about faith. And it's interesting in the worship guide that they provided for this year's worship, they provided all the liturgy, but for the sermon time, they actually suggested that we go into small group discussion. So in some ways, it would have been wonderful if this was during the summer when we were around tables, and we could have actually done a little bit of that. But because of that suggestion, I'm going to be a little less formal today, and I am at times in the service going to give you the opportunity to provide answers to some of the questions. Paul is near the end of his life. He knows that. He's once again in prison in Rome, and trust me, those prisons in Rome were nothing like the prisons we have nowadays that are air-conditioned, heated, you get 3 square meals a day. One of the things I read said more than likely it was actually a hole in the ground that had a hole at the top where they could pass food to him when they provided food. There would have been no heat in the winter and no air conditioning in the summer. So even though Paul wasn't struggling with some kind of deadly disease like cancer, he was living in conditions that probably left his body weakened. But that wasn't why he knew he was getting close to the end of his time. He knew that he was not popular with Nero, the emperor, and that probably he would soon be executed. Paul had done a miraculous job of spreading the church throughout much of the then-known world. And that was of great concern to him. Paul, really, there was only one thing he cared about, and that was faith. And letting other people know about faith and about God and about Jesus Christ. So he had a real concern that as he was getting ready to leave, like Jesus did when he was preparing his disciples, Paul wanted to make sure that the church was still going to go on. And so he did what Paul did, and that was to write. So much of the New Testament is letters from Paul. Most of those letters are to individual churches addressing different issues. But this letter to Timothy is one of what's known as the pastoral letters. It's written to an individual person. And Timothy was somebody that Paul had put in place, had trained, had guided, had lifted up in the faith. And then he sent him out. And I'm thinking maybe because of this letter, the way he said it, that I need you to light up that fire to really get your spirit going, that Paul was a little concerned. If you read further on in this letter, and I encourage you to read the whole letter, it's a whopping 2.5 pages, so it wouldn't take you very long, but there's a lot in there of what Paul was feeling at that time. Apparently, some of those disciples that he had put in place, those people that were leading churches, that were followers of Paul, the church through Paul, were falling away from Paul. He even states that in this letter. So it's important to him that Timothy not be one of those, that he encourage Timothy's faith. And so he wrote him this letter. One of the things that I really found important in this letter was Paul mentioned the fact that Timothy had two mentors before Paul. Two mentors. Did you pick up on that? His grandmother and his mother. It was because of these two women that Timothy had the faith he had. It was because of them that Paul was able to take Timothy and create in him a leader in the church. But it was that early, early mentorship. I'm going to use that word. Paul didn't use it. But that's what's important for all of us. I wonder how many of you can remember some people that were important to you in your faith development. I remember growing up in the church, and probably a big percentage of those of us that are here today grew up in the church. We had many people that touched our lives, but there's probably certain people that stand out to us. I can remember early on, a big part of our time was spent with a group of people from the church where my grandmother and grandfather had been members and my mother also. We kind of consider it our home church. In fact, this week in the Times, they had an article about Christ Methodist in St. Pete that sold their part of their property for $5.3 million to help the church keep going. That was my home church, so when I saw that, that kind of brought back memories. My mother was baptized and married there, and both me and my children were baptized there. So that was an important part of that early faith tradition, although I never really attended there. Because we had moved out of St. Petersburg, we attended other churches that were out in Seminole. But all of that basis really helped me begin to develop my faith. My parents were very active in the church, and that developed my faith. But then as an adult, I met a couple who made a major difference in my faith. They changed my faith totally. They actually attend here. They're not here today because of some flu where they're living. Wally and Alma Webb had a major, major impact in my life. So when I read this scripture about Timothy and his mother and his grandmother, how they affected his faith before Paul even came into the picture, it got me thinking about mentors. And that's one of those areas where I want to bring this you all into discussion. I'm going to encourage you, even if you don't want to speak, to think about that for your life. Who was a mentor in your life? Write it down on your bulletin. You got space on, there's little spaces in the bulletin where you could write that down. And think about that later. But right now, is there anybody in here who would be willing to share the name of somebody who might have been an especially important part of your life, of your faith journey? Letitia. Thank you. Is anybody else that would like to share somebody? Okay. Actions speak louder than words. That's, I think, we talk about that a lot when we do our sermons of service, which will be later this month. That's one of our themes, is that idea that preach the gospel, when all else fails, use words. Tina. And for many children, I think it was that way, or else the parents would drop them off and just depend on the church. But yeah, we can all be mentors to children that don't necessarily have a family, a family that is active in the faith. Wendy.
I'm going to mention A.T. Brown and John Ensign, who were both church camp directors, and I spent a lot of time in both Sure Kirk and Camp Hanover and Camp New Hope, that those people were involved in leading and developing.
Youth camp, yes. I have many wonderful memories of youth camp, and for many young people, that is a major life changer. Is spending life at time at youth camp and the people that lead those. Molly?
I'm going to say Reverend Ann Johnson.
Ah. Patty.
John Williams was the director of Christian education at Christ Presbyterian Church in Marlboro. She was really, really involved with us in the youth group when we were in high school. And Donna had a way of taking Bible words and putting them in everyday life, words like kindness and mercy and justice and love.
Thank you. Yeah, that idea that our faith is about every day, not just on Sunday morning. An important lesson. Is there anyone else? Okay, for the rest of you, I hope you will take a few moments, whether right now or maybe just write down on your, if you can't think of somebody right now, write down mentor on your bulletin and think about it later on who might have affected your life. and helped grow you in the faith. Because this was important. Paul understood that importance for Timothy. And I think part of what he was telling Timothy is you had important mentors. You had your grandmother, you had your mother, and you had me. Now it's your time. You need to be mentors. And that's one of the messages of this today, is that's what's in this, the message that's in it for us. Is it so easy for us just to be part of a church and not think about how we can be mentors to other people, how we can help other people come to understand what the faith is? The statement that our actions speak louder than words, you're right. And I look around at this church and so many ways that we use our actions. I mentioned sermons of service, but two Saturdays a month, we have a group of about 15, 16 people that get together and make breakfast and take it to Pinellas Hope, a program that's seeking to help homeless men and women get back on their feet, turn their lives around. And it means so much to them to have people come out and share with them. Not so much words, although we do have a prayer with them before breakfast, but that idea that there's people that care about them, that are demonstrating Christ's love in what they do. And that's what Paul was saying to Timothy, is you need to get out there and do that. But Paul was demonstrating it because he did it. He wrote a letter. And that's the second thing I'm going to get you, encourage you to do. I want you to think about who in your life you might be able to write a letter to encourage them in their faith. He was concerned that Timothy might be wavering, as some of his other followers had. Who in your life might you be able to write a letter to that would make a difference? And what would you say? You know, I've thought about this. I was trying to come up with a name for myself, and I haven't come up with a name, but I have an idea of what I would write. We have so many people today that are talking about the fact that they're spiritual but not religious. They're not involved in a church. They think they can do it all on their own. And yet I look at what it means to be a part of the church. We're talking about being a neighborhood church. And I think about that, what a difference it makes to be a part of the church rather than trying to do it on your own. You know, we spend time together doing projects. We spend time together studying. We spend time together looking for ways to better serve the community and to better demonstrate Christ's love to the world. It's hard to do that on your own. You know, I did spend some time in my 20s when, like so many of us, we kind of left the church. Mine was because I got frustrated with the church. I was working for a church, and they were making some decisions I didn't think were very Christ-like, so I was like, okay, I'm done with religion. And then after some time away, I began to think about it. You know, the church is such a great place. It's a place that lifts people up when they're down. It's a place that reaches out. It's a place that can be there for each other when we're having our times of trouble. So I felt that need for church. My children were beginning to grow, and I felt that it was important to have them in church, because I've heard people that say, I'm not going to take my children to church. When they get older, they can make their own decision. And in essence, I've actually said this to people, if you take that attitude, you've made the decision for them. Because if they haven't been experiencing church, they're not likely to look for it on their own when they get older. So, but because I understood how important it was to be a part of a church family, I went back. And I'm so glad I did, because I made that decision that the church is not perfect. None of us are perfect. But it's a whole lot easier to make church better from within than it is from without. We have to work together as a church. There's so much need out there. We talk about this, how much need there is. We look at the issues out there, Paul knew that. He knew that it was important that the church not only survive, but that it continue to grow. And so in what time he had left, he was trying to build the next generation. We don't know if there was letters to people other than Timothy. I would imagine so. We just have the letters that survived. Paul wasn't writing. Believe it or not, Paul was not writing the New Testament. He was writing to spread his faith and to encourage other people. And we were very blessed that some of these happened to survive and we have them and it became the New Testament. But there was probably lots of other letters just like this one to Timothy that reached out to the leaders in the church, that reached out to those people whose lives he had touched and whose lives had touched his. He mentioned many of them in his other letters, both men and women, which was very unusual in that time. It was a patriarchal society where women had little or no responsibility. They were not much more than property. But Paul acknowledged the important part that women played in the church. And so today, even today, when there are still issues with women not being totally equal, it's a good time to look at that and remember the part that women have played in the church. It hasn't been that long that women could do what I'm doing today. In the scheme of the length of the church, a very short time. But we need to build everybody up. Not just women, not just men, but we need to encourage everybody to find their place in the church, to find what they can do to make a difference. Because we have a lot of Timothys here, people that have a lot of faith and can share that faith. They can be mentors, they can be leaders, and they can serve others. And that's the message of this letter to Timothy. Live strong in your faith. Jesus used the term that if we were like a mustard seed, if we had that much faith, what we could do would be unending. We don't have to be real strong. We don't have to know everything there is to know about Christianity. We just have to have the faith that the church is important. The church can make a difference in the world. And use that faith to reach out to other people to let them know too. And when we do that, this church, not just this church, but the church will become stronger. And we too can be like Paul and spread that word. Amen. Yes, each of our names have been called. And part of that call is to share that, to share it with others. This week, I'm going to charge you with two things. One, if you didn't come up with one of those mentors that affected your faith life, think about it and write it down. And maybe write a thank you. There's a good chance those mentors are no longer around, but it'll be good for you to think about that and to write a thank you note that will just belong to you. And the second part of that is think about your faith. Think about where you are now. And take the time to write a letter to somebody. Think about who might benefit from that letter and write it. Even if you don't send it, it'll help you think more about your faith and how you can better live out that faith. Because that's what Paul's saying to Timothy. Don't take your faith for granted. Work to fire it up. And use that faith to touch somebody else's life as you go throughout this week. Live now in your faith, the faith of a mustard seed that can change the world. Go now in peace. Mm-hmm.